This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
If you go into a new environment and you have no idea what being a celebrity is like, you have no idea what that world is like because it's not common, it's not normal unless you're in it, and suddenly you're in it, oh, this is what it's like, and it's not what I expected it to be. Oh my goodness, will they do this? And all these people around are saying that this is okay and this is how we do it. I guess you very quickly fall in line if your ultimate goal is what you want for yourself. If that's to be the next Diddy or just to be a music star, whatever they were trying to glean off of Diddy, what sort of advantage they were trying to get with being close to him, that outweighed their moral compass, I guess, to a certain extent. Is it that? Is it brainwashing? Because a lot of these people who've come out of this, I mean, when they're not in the Diddy land, they seem like very moral, rational human beings. But it's scary how quickly morals go out the window when you're in the presence of someone or something that you think you're going to use to your advantage. It seems then like maybe for some, others don't really matter. The emotions don't matter because it's going to benefit you and this is the path to get there.
Well, you also start second guessing what you think is right or wrong. You second guess your own morals and ethics, because when you are seeing something for the first time and your initial response is abhorrence and withdrawing and saying, oh my gosh, that's wrong. But even the people that it's being done to, the immoral, indecent acts, they are also living in fear. So they're saying, oh no, it's fine. And so they're rationalizing that behavior onto themselves. And so now with you as an outsider coming in, you're seeing bad things being done to others, but the victims of those bad things, they're telling you it's okay because this is normal. This is the way things are done. And so it's rewriting your own morals and ethics on top of what you've learned already. And then you're rationalizing it to yourself because you want to be part of this group. You want to be part of this organization. You think it's a healthy organization because of what everyone's saying is it's fine. I mean, this is why as a species we thrive, because we have the ability to tell stories, we have the ability to gossip, and we have the ability to collectively move together in groups and organizations because we have this kind of communication and groupthink. But when someone does it for ill means, whether it's an individual in the music industry or a nation state, it still has the same outcome. You can destroy lives.
Yeah. Kid Cudi, he testified this week. He's a rapper that was dating Cassie for a short off period between Diddy and Cassie. Well, Diddy, of course, did not like that. He made comments to Cassie that he was going to blow up his car. And then a few weeks later, his car was firebombed. Yeah, I think it's easy to see what took place here and who likely instigated it. How likely do you think this happened in a bubble where this is the first time Diddy went out and firebombed someone's car or took things to this extreme? Or is this just one of the few that made it to light because people who've had this happen to them, they don't want to see what's going to happen next and they haven't spoken again? I can't imagine this is the only time he's gone to an extreme like this. Just conjecture.
Yeah, very rare to go 0 to 100, as we say. There's an arc of behavior. I guarantee you there is other violence or threats of violence leading up to a firebombing of a car before that. So I seriously doubt that's the first and only data point that we're going to see or that's been done before. So, but yeah, all it takes is that one act that's got seen by others and it becomes the unwritten rule about how not to have that done to you.
There really was, I mean, it seems to be a world of two Diddies. There's this very dark, evil type character that has zero accountability and zero empathy for anyone other than himself. And then you have the Diddy family man, the philanthropist that we saw out in public that was helping this and helping that and his kids. They seem to love him still to this day. You know, they're showing up in court despite the horrific things that are being said about dad. That's, I think, one of the things that is really hard for people to wrap their mind around, how he could flip to be this guy at night or wherever it was, and he could be this guy during the day. And one's the devil and one's a saint. How is that mind? How is his mind operating that allows him to just compartmentalize things to such an extreme and almost like literally be two different human beings?
good question. I think everyone's different on this one too. Well, we see a lot, and we, you and I see it with on social media and people on social media, and there's people that are very congruent with their behavior, both on and off screen. I mean, you and I are pretty much the same people everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And that makes it very congruent for people to understand. But at the same time, though, there's a lot of people that are entertainers. And so an entertainer could very easily explain away their behavior. Like, oh, when I'm at work, I'm entertaining. When I'm being Diddy, I'm entertaining. When I'm being Dad, I'm being this. And so reconciling those two, that's the challenge for people to make is when people don't see what's going behind the scenes of the public persona, that's the challenge. But there's leakage. There's always leakage with human behavior. And the leakage comes from incongruencies. There's leakage coming from, you know, tempo changes, communication style changes. And so, in other words, if you ever watch someone or observe someone for a period of time, and over that period of time, you kind of take a step back and say, that was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You know, the first time you said that was odd, it could just be a one-off. But if you're saying, well, that's odd, I don't understand that. I don't understand why they said that. I don't understand what that behavior is. Why did the people around them over here act a little bit differently than in this instance over here? I don't understand how these two are the same. See what I mean? When you start getting inconsistencies, we're picking up on the leakage of there might be something more going on. Not saying there is something devious going on, but there's something going on. In other words, there might be more to that five-second highlight reel that they're putting out in front of you to 24 hours of suck that's going on behind it.
That's got to be a traumatic thing for anyone who's gone through it, but then to realize, to kind of have your moment where you come back to reality and you see reality for what it is, and you see, oh my God, like I've been part of this. That how does that happen? Like, is it a switch that flips in people sometimes where it's, oh shit, like this is the line. This went too far. Or, I mean, there's a lot of people that certainly did get out of this and people who are testifying against him and people who have stories. But what does it take to realize that you're involved in this culty-like thing to escape? Is it a level of deviant behavior that pushes someone away? Or is it, I don't know, because once people are in these sort of cult-like situations, it's really hard to pull them out.
It is, and not everyone can make it. I mean, so great example. The thing that popped in my mind you're describing is think to the Ruby Frankie case and Kevin Frankie.
Yeah.
Here's a husband that was caught up in the cult of his wife and Jody Hildebrandt, and he's still to this day, you can tell he's not totally bought in with, that was really bad. Well, he says it's bad, but you know, I still love her. I mean, you can kind of see this playing out with Diddy people. Well, I still really like Diddy. Oh yeah, it was bad, but oh, I really like Diddy. I mean, so some people are gonna be like, oh man, that was crazy. That was nuts. I think what really happens and what's really critical in these situations is who's in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Having, as you and I've said numerous times on this case, our own lives and everything else, is that having loving critics in our lives that can be objective for us in the face of our own emotional hijacking is really key and critical. It's very hard to do it for ourselves. That's why we have someone stand with us that is saying, hey, that's really weird shit going on. Knock it off.
Yeah.
As well as, even though I can't do it for myself in this moment because I'm emotionally attached to the outcome, emotionally attached to the person, I can do it for the person that is my loving critic. I can be their loving critic because I'm objective for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a key. Anytime a loving critic in your life, and it's got to be loving, someone you trust, someone who's not giving you information and dialogue and feedback for their own good, but only for your good. When they say something's off, you have to listen. Even though 99% of you wants to get drawn in and you want to do it, if your loving critic says, you need to pull back, you got to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd rather be wrong 5% of the time, 10% of the time, than 100% of the time or 90% of the time. In other words, let that loving critic be there for you to see objectively what's going on. And if you don't have one, be very wary of the decisions you're making when you start dealing with really weird, odd behavior and people that kind of set your hairs on the edge of your arm up and actually says, at any time you're saying, that's odd, that's off, or even someone else is saying the same thing, just pay attention.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now. and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.